Father, in the name of Jesus, the entrance of your word gives light. Let that light now enter into our minds, enter into our beings with revelation knowledge, to the glory of your name. Speak to us, O God, and teach us what you will have us know, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen. So, we're getting right into this. Last week was an introduction, and they did a good job in the review session going over the showbread and the hidden manna. And we are going to be, in this series, we're actually going into the hidden manna, which is the preparation for the coming of the Lord. You know, so we've been, sharing the showbread and so forth. And but now we're going to move a little deeper. But I want to read a caution before we get started. So this caution is right here in the book of Hosea. Turn with me to the book of Hosea. And let's look at this real quickly before we go too far. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Now, this is not head knowledge. This is revelation knowledge. We know that in 1 Corinthians, we're told, 8, and 3 and so on, we're told that head knowledge pops up. This is not the kind of knowledge that pops up. This is revelation knowledge that God wants us to have. And he says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Now, we don't want any of that, because his promise to us and the word to us is that he has made us priests and kings. Amen. 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 And remember, the showbread was primarily for priests, even though Christ has now opened that up for us. You know, but he's giving us a warning here. If you don't receive the revelation knowledge, he said, I'm going to reject you, there be no priest unto me. You know, seeing that thou hast forgotten the word of the Lord, which is the law of thy God, and so forth like that. And he said, I will also forget thy children. Now, we don't want any of that, do we? So, let's pay attention. Let's learn what God wants us to learn. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 27, I'm going to give us this as just a, an opener into this. Starting at verse 50 of Matthew 27. We talked about this briefly today, but not exactly quoted this in the review. Now, when Jesus cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. There are some things that happened when Jesus died. You know, many of us know that Jesus died, shed his blood, and so forth. And the plan was that he will redeem us not only from God's judgment, but change our sin nature. That's the plan. There's something else here that is revealed here. You know, when he yielded up the ghost in verse 51 of Matthew 27, he says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, this is the veil that kept everybody else out, except the high priest, which we covered briefly last week. You know, but when Jesus died, that veil was torn from top to bottom. Hallelujah. Now, so that means a way of entrance is now open into the holiest for everybody. And we must press in. Amen. Now, when that grave was opened, not only did that happen, now many people don't know this, but the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Some real drama there. But look at this also. And the graves were opened. Hallelujah. And many bodies of the saints which had slept since the beginning of time, they arose. But they stayed in their place because Jesus had to be the first fruits of this kind of resurrection. You know, so they came out after his resurrection. So the whole time they stood up and they were in their place. Hallelujah. And waiting for that great resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he did, they also came out and they appeared to many. And these are things which people don't know, but it did happen. Now, we're entering again back into this similitude of the renting of the veil. Amen. He says, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken off. You know, Moses covered his veil, but, you know, his face with the veil, but that's done away with right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you happy that the Lord has made us, called us to inherit these things and to hear these things? Amen? Amen. Jesus said, you know, he said, Father, I thank you. He prayed in the spirit that unto the kings, prophets, and all these people, these things were not revealed, but thou hast chosen to reveal them unto babes. For such seemeth good in thy sight. And we thank God that we are recipients of this kind of revelation knowledge. Amen. Now, don't let us miss it. Now, last week, we also talked about symbolism in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10. The reason I want to bring this out again is because the book of Revelation is almost completely written in symbols. And the Lord said in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10 that I have spoken unto the prophets and have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Similitude is symbols and things like that. So the book of Revelation is in symbolism and stuff like that. You know, God brings it through the prophets and he takes the teaching ministry to bring it out. You know, so we're going to be doing that by the grace of God. So let's pay attention. Praise the Lord. All right. So that's... We also talked about last week, Deuteronomy 29:29, the things that God has revealed to us and so on. We need to take advantage of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's move on quickly here. Now, one thing that we mentioned last week, but I didn't give you a scripture for, the scripture is found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26 says that there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Can you put up those scriptures? Pay attention and put up the scriptures, please. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be known. Amen. Now, in the book of Daniel, he was told to cover up some things and seal them up until the time of the end. Well, but this scripture right here says, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Neither is there anything hid that shall not be known. Praise the Lord. So we thank God for that confidence that the Lord has given us. Now, that's to prepare your minds to let you know that these things are for us to know. This is not to make us feel that we are better than anybody else, but these are the things that God has freely given unto us. And we must know these things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, this morning, the book of Revelation, part 1. Remember, right off the bat, in Revelation 1:1, he says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And I pointed this out last week. This verse right here tells us that God wants to show to his servants, not to hide from his servants. Amen. So this book is about showing, not about hiding. Now, so if anything looks like it's hidden, well, God's going to put a spotlight on it so it can be known. Amen. Because there shall be nothing hid that will not be known. Neither will anything be covered that will not be revealed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's talk about the revelation of Christ in this place today. Now, this chapter begins to tell us about that. It tells us about who Christ is and who we are in him. And it also tells us that who authored this message that John is sending. So today we want to go quickly and see how much of this we can cover even into the message to their churches. Now, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, comes this message. What are the things that John was told? He said, well, write these things, put them in a book and send them to the churches. But he gave a promise before that, and we mentioned this last week. In the book of Revelation 1 and verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Amen. And keep those things which are therein. So if you read it, you are blessed. If you hear it through these teachings and keep those things, you are also blessed. Amen. Now, blessed is he that readeth and hear the words of this prophecy. Now, this book is the book of prophecy. You know, it's all about that. You know, so we're going to need the spirit of prophecy to explain many things to us. Now, Jesus Christ introduced himself as the faithful witness in verse 5. And he said he's the first begotten from the dead. We talked about that already. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. And unto him that washed us and loved us in his blood and has made us kings and priests. Now, before we can become kings and priests, we must recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen. He is the King of kings. He is the high priest among high priests. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's just everything. You know, so we are subordinate priests under him. And, but we don't take lightly, no man takes this honor unto himself. You know, Aaron was called and so forth. He didn't grab the honor. Jesus himself didn't grab the honor to be who he was. That's who he was. Praise the Lord. We are who we are. Amen. Don't sell yourself short. Jesus would tell the Pharisees, he said, look, I am from above. Ye are from beneath. And if I do not say so, I'll be a liar like you. And for this cause, I was sent into the world. And he told it the way it was. Now, we don't make any braggados about whatever, but we make no apologies about what God has freely given us. Amen. And we must be who we are. And we must step into, the inheritance that God has given us in the saints through Christ Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he has made us kings and priests. In verse 7. I'm going to come to the message to the churches, but I'm going through this revelation of Jesus Christ quickly. With Jesus Christ being the head of all things to the church, along with that comes his people who are priests and kings with him. You know, so don't forget that, folks. We got to be in that ministry of priests and kings with him. Now, Jesus is the one that has the triple, you might want to call it triple crown ministry. He was prophet. He came in with the voice of God into this world and taught us how to recognize God as our Father. He is high priest over the house of God right now. And he's coming back as King of Kings. So he's got the triple crown together. Amen. Now, if we want to be priests and kings with him, we must also, follow in his footsteps. A prophet is the one that declares the word of God. You know, God has called us also to be a prophet to this generation. Some people are confused about what prophet means. I don't have time to go into that today, but there are many people in the Bible that God calls prophets that people today will not call prophets. One time God said, Abraham is my prophet. He told Abimelech, better listen to him and he will pray for you. People never thought of Abraham as a prophet. One time God referred to David as a prophet. David being a prophet, he spoke about Christ and of the things to come in Psalm 22 and many things. People didn't realize that, that David was a prophet. Now, John, on the Isle of Patmos, he never called himself a prophet. Sometimes he referred to himself as the beloved disciple or whatever. But this whole book is about prophecy. And there's nothing so deep in that Bible like this book of Revelation. Maybe some places in the book of Daniel and so on. So would you say he was a prophet? Absolutely. Now some of you may not know that God has also chosen you to be a prophet to this generation. Now, a prophet is somebody that speaks the word on behalf of somebody else. That's really what it is. Aaron was a prophet unto Moses because Moses said, well, I'm not going to be this and that, God wanted him to go and speak. He said, well, I can't speak, made excuses and so forth. So, okay, well, Moses, then God said, well, I'm going to let Aaron be a prophet for you, so speak for him and so on. So when we speak for God, we are in that position. Well, this is not to make anything out of it. I'm just declaring the word of God the way it is. Now, when we move from that, God has called us into a holy priesthood in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Amen. Royal means, you are kings at the same time that you are priests. That's what he's saying here. Royal priesthood. Now, so that's what God has made us. Now, he comes When he comes, in verse 8, we are told that every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, we will not wail. Amen. Are you going to cry because Jesus is coming? No. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be so raptured with love. Hallelujah. But the kindreds of this earth, you know, those that don't know the Lord and so forth, they are going to wail. Some of them are going to, when they go through some of the things we're going to reveal here in these teachings, they're going to ask that the rocks should even fall upon them. You know, but for us, you know, we're going to be jubilating. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard, this is verse 10, behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, you know, I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. So that's how this figure introduced himself. He already called himself the beginning and the ending in verse 8. But he's going to introduce himself now. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and I am the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he described the churches, and we'll come to that in a minute. You know, now, when I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, I being turned, the first thing he saw was seven golden candlesticks. Then he saw another person, and, you know, Sister Rosemary, she described that so beautifully today. You know, he saw another person that stood in there. It looks almost like another candlestick, white and the wool and the flame and so on. You know, and so when I turned, I saw in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like the Son of Man. You know, I mean, John should recognize him. He had been with him for a long time. Why is he looking like he doesn't recognize him? And he said, look, he was clothed with a garment down to the foot and so forth. His head was like this, and his hairs were like that. His feet were like fine brass, and burned like a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had his in the right hand seven stars. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You could call him the seven-star general if you want. He's got those seven stars in his hands. And he, you know, his face, countenance was shining as the sun. Now, this is not the only time that John ever saw anything close to this was like on Mount Transfiguration. Because the whole time Jesus was veiled, the glory was not revealed. But this time he's showing a different part of, you say this is Jesus? Well, let's come to that in a minute. You know, so I fell at his feet when I saw him as, you know, like this. I mean, John, I mean, he takes your breath away. Amen. When he's revealed like this, it takes your breath away. And he said, ladies ran out upon him, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, so he's going to tell you who he is right now, just in case you are thinking it's somebody else. You know, verse 18 tells us who this person and this figure is that John saw. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. How many of you know who that is? That's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You know. But Jesus Christ is standing here making claim that I am the first and I am the last. Now, Jesus never said I am the second or I am the third. It's people that caught Jesus and caught God up in so many. You cannot cut God up in three pieces and feed them to a Jew. They will never accept that. Behold, hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The Lord thy God is one Lord. One Lord, not three Lords, folks. So let's settle that right here. In case you think that this God the Father is separate from God the Son, and is separate from God the Holy Ghost, you know, there's no such thing, you know, with God. You know, throughout the book of Isaiah, God says, I am the Holy One of Israel. Never the Holy Three of Israel. I'm the Holy One of Israel. You know, and Jesus is standing right here. First and last. Praise the Lord. To help you understand it, you know, we don't argue these things. It's just the way it is. It comes by revelation. You know, of course, there is the Father because that's the Spirit of God. That's right. God is a spirit. Jesus said it himself, John 4 and 24. God is spirit. See? But if the Holy Spirit and God, the Father, so-called, if they are different, then that means that Jesus has two fathers. See? But you can't have two fathers. Because we know that Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the person that, you know, makes the woman pregnant is the father of the child. So the Holy Ghost is the father of the child. How many of you say amen to that? And if God the Father were different from the Holy Ghost, then Jesus has two fathers. But we know that can't be the same. It just can't be possible, you know. So it's one God. Remember it, folks. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. GMI, hear it. The Lord our God. I want everybody to say with me, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Not three lords, one Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are the first and you are the last, I want to take a little bit of time because everything in this book from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus Christ. So before we talk about the bride and the churches, let me take a little time and talk about the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Because there is no bride without the bridegroom. Amen. There is no church without Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the one that it's all about. Amen. Now, if you are the first, and I've given this illustration before, and I want to give it to help everybody else that's sitting here. You know, if we leave the service right now, and I want to take note, everybody leaves, and I want to take note of the person, the first person that would leave the building. Now, pay attention, young children. This may help you too. And adults. The first person to leave the building and the last person to leave the building. Now, I look around, there's many people here. You know, so if you are the first person to leave the building, if I tell everybody to get up and walk to the banquet hall right now, if you are the first person to leave the building and you are the last person to leave the building, what does that tell you? It means there's only one person here. Amen. You cannot, even the people that are sitting in this front row, you can't have one person be the first person and another person be the last person. They are two different people. It just doesn't work. Amen. If you are the first to leave and you are the last to leave, then there's only one person in the building. That's all it means. Amen. Simple arithmetic and simple mathematics. Now, Jesus being the first and being the last makes him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You can read that in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It has pleased God to put in him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. And, you know, there's always these symbols. You say, well, why did God say, well, let us make man in our image? Absolutely. Because before the world began, the Lamb was already slain. God, having the attribute of being a Savior inside of him, already made provision for our salvation. A body has thou prepared for me. I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. So God prepared that body for Christ, and he was the similitude of the very God. Amen. You know, so that's why he spoke to him. He said, look, you know, our image, you know, that's the Spirit of God speaking to that Son of God that would come. He was the only one in the image. He wasn't angels. God didn't talk. Angels are not in the image of God. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Jesus took not on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. So God was talking to him right there. He was the one that was going to come. He's the express image of the living God. If you want to see what God looks like, you look at Jesus Christ. Amen. You can find that in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1. We covered the book of Hebrews many years ago. The teachings are on the website, so go look at it. Now, having talked about that, you know, if you still wonder about it, well, pray. The Lord will reveal it to you. Amen. You know, Jesus now has those seven stars in their hand. You know, and we talked about this briefly last week when we looked forward to the book of Revelation. And when we get to that place also, Revelation chapter 5, we're going to show with absolute proof who he is. Amen. But let me read a few scriptures on this. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without all controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So there's no controversy about it. God was manifest in the flesh. Now that's Jehovah or Yahweh. That's the very Elohim. He was manifest in the flesh. Not some other person. God was manifest in the flesh. And he was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. That's why Jesus told them in John chapter 8, you know, he began to talk to them even in, you know, many of those verses, but right, when you get down to about 58 and so forth, he told them, look, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. And that's the reason they killed him, you know, because of all those quote-unquote blasphemies that Jesus used to make. But Jesus wasn't blaspheming anything at all. He was saying it exactly the way it was. Amen. Now, when you give birth, you know, to a child, if it's a male child, it's called a son. Amen? Is that true? If it's a female child, it's called what? A daughter. So, if it's a male child, it must be called a son. And if it is a female child, then it must be called a daughter. Hallelujah. So when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, you know, he said to her, you know, he shall be the son of the highest. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. That's right. And you will be visited by the Most High. Therefore, that holy thing that should be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. He has to be called somebody's son. He can't be. They call him Son of David. You know, Jesus himself said, why did they call him Son of David? That even David himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, if he is his Lord, why they call him Son of David for? But Jesus actually submitted himself to be the Son of David according to the scriptures, you know, so that he may not only be the root of David, that was before David, but also the offspring of David, so that he might fill all things all in all. Amen. He is everything that you can ever, you know, think about. Now, Isaiah gave it to us so beautifully. And I love it in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Put that scripture up and I want everybody to look at it. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us is what? A child is born. When a child is born, I just said it, is either a son or a daughter, depending on their gender. You know, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Hallelujah. His name, this is the son that was born. This is the son that was introduced to Mary, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. This same son that was introduced to Mary, his name will be called Wonderful. He will also be the Counselor. That sounds to me like the Holy Spirit. You know, he is also the Mighty God. But beyond that, this same son is also the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. And he is the Prince of Peace. So you can't argue this scripture. This one son that was born, he's wrapped up. He is the son. He is the father. He is the counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is everything. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So we settled that, you know. Now let me tell you what this knowledge that we talked about, if you have it, let me tell you what it brings to you. In the book of 1 John, this is the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. This is what this knowledge that we talked about. Can you put that scripture up, 1 John 5, 20? This is what that knowledge does for you. We know that the Son of God is come and had given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the true God and eternal life. To know him in this way is everlasting life, folks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the revelation of who you are. Thank you, Lord, because you are the one that walks among even the golden candlesticks, and you are the one that have the seven stars in your hands. And you commanded John to write the things which he has seen to the churches. And the Spirit of God said, let him that hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Can you say, praise the Lord? Having now covered who Jesus is, you know, let's turn to the message that he gave John to the churches. There were seven local churches in Asia Minor in that time that God picked out. And remember, he speaks in symbolisms. So there are characteristics of these churches that we can find throughout all Christendom. But I'm not going to talk about the seven church ages, like people always talked about, because, you know, that makes people, you know, think that they only have to listen to the message of the seventh church age. No. He said, let him that hath an ear hear what? The Spirit saith unto what? The churches. That means that whether they were in Ephesus, that means whether they were in Smyrna, whether they were in Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, or Laodicea, every one of them should read what the Spirit was saying to not just their own church, but to their churches. So we must read the entire message that God gave to all the churches. Praise the Lord. So that's what we are going to be doing. And when we get into this message for, I'm going to spend quite a bit of time when we get into it, when we pick this up next time, because this is addressing the churches, trying to get them ready for his coming. There will be five parts to each of the messages that he will have to the churches. The first part will be how he introduces himself. You know, like he would say, and unto the church that is in Ephesus, write. And then he'll begin to say something. Now, I've jumped to chapter 2. And then he began to reveal, you know, himself to them and says, this thing saith he that hath the seven stars in his right hand, walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And if time permits next time, I will bring a correlation between the introduction that he gives of himself to the characteristics of that particular church, why he addressed himself like that. You know, so there's always an introduction of himself. The second part is a review of their works. Amen? Hello, folks. This is the most important part. Well, perhaps next to the promise that he gave. But the review of their works. The works, like he said, I know thy works. He always said that. He will review their works. And then he'll tell them. You know, it's like a review. You know, he goes through and checks them out. You know, gives them, you know, it's a grade report. It's like a grade report. I know thy works. So he will tell them. And then he will describe their works. So that they will know that he knows. And then following the review of their works, remember Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. So your works are very important, because that's what God is going to review. We are saved by grace. Amen. But we are rewarded based on works. Hallelujah. Now, you need to listen. There's a message on our website called Rewards of the Overcomers and also Rewards. February 5, 2017. You should listen to it. Many rewards. I may refer to that again, but I want to use that as an introduction. Go back and listen to that. Following their works, there may be two things out of the review of the works. There may be commendation and or rebuke. In some cases, there was condemnation, you know, and then, I mean, the rebuke. And then in some cases, there was commendation. No rebuke at all. There were two churches, we'll come to that later on, that he had no rebuke for. He just told them the various things and so forth. So we've seen the introduction, the review of the works, either the commendation or the rebuke. And then after that, the promise. Hallelujah. There's always a promise. He that overcometh. After he tells them the things that he wants them to do, he that overcometh, I will give him this promise. And he gave those promises. And I tell you, those promises are so precious. You know, those are the things that we should be hanging on today. Now, for Ephesus, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst even bear those which are evil, call themselves apostles and they are not, and you have checked them out and you have determined them. These people had the gift of discerning of spirits. In the first era there, you know, so many people jumped out to say they were apostles and so forth. These people were able to figure out that they were not. They labored, they knew all these things and so forth. You know, and they did good by all that. Jesus said, you did all that. You have borne and you have patience, and for my namesake, you have labored and you have not fainted. Now, verse 4. Nevertheless. Now, that word nevertheless always carries a lot of weight. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast lost thy first love. And that's a message for every one of us that is sitting here today. You know, looks like many of us fall into that category. We have lost our first love. You know, some people have even allowed the things that they used to believe to slip out of their hands. And some people, when they came into the Lord, they were so excited about the things of God. Today, church is a drag. The word of God is a drag. Jesus said, well, all those first things that you did, they are great. But right now, measuring you with how you first were, you have fallen from your standard. You have lost your first love. And he said, you better repent quickly. You see, remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent and do again the first works. One of the first works that many of us has lost is personal evangelism. Amen. You better repent and do those first works again. You know, and also being fired up about the things of God and the word of God. Many people have lost that and they have forgotten that. Jesus said, better go back. But this thou hast, and he talked about the deeds of the Nicolaitans. We'll cover that in more detail next time. So now he tells them, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to their churches. And here comes the promise. To him that overcometh, hallelujah, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In one of these promises, we'll come to it next time. You will see where it says, to him that overcometh, I will give him the right to the hidden manna. You know, so last week we talked about the hidden manna. It's right here in the book of Revelation. We're going to talk about it more and more. Now, I'm going to leave it right there for today. When we pick it up next time, we're going to go more into the churches, the message of the Spirit of God to the churches. He that hath an ear. The trouble is, people are not listening to what God is saying to the churches. What is it that people are listening to today? Why? They have itching ears. They don't want the truth anymore. They heap to themselves teachers. They have itching ears. They, you know, they like something smooth, you know. If we begin to talk about repentance now, if I begin to come out and talk about sin and all these kind of things and so forth, and how you must live a holy life and do these things, and how you must be born again, and how you must repent, you know, and how we must preach the message of the cross and all these things and so forth. And when we preach some messages that sting, you know, some people say, well, you know, I want to hear an exciting message. Well, Jesus didn't always preach exciting messages. Amen. He preached the truth. John 8 and 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, we must preach the truth. Even though it stings, we have to preach the truth. Praise the Lord. Now, that being said, you know, we've preached, many uplifting messages here all the time. You just have to go to the website, loaded with lifter up. I call them lifter up messages. Every time that I sense in my spirit that the people are down, I seek the Lord and God will come and we'll preach a message that lift the people up and something like that, But this is a message. This teaching is a series of preparation for the coming of the Lord. We are now in the shadows of the end. So you might call this also the Shadows of the End series, which we started a while back, but we are going into this right now. Hallelujah. Being that we have lost mostly some of our first love, which is evangelism, and being fired up for God, and being a witness for God, after this segment, I am going to have our SWAT team come out here. That's our Soul Winners Action Team. Now, some people don't even know that we have this ministry here in the church. They are our outreach team. And I'm going to have them come out here and let us hear what God is doing behind the scenes. Amen. Because the work of trying to reconcile people back to God after we are saved and walking in the truth by ourselves as a church, this is our first mission. And we must give highlight to that portion of our ministry. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray right now. I want us to stand up for a minute. You've been sitting down for about 45 minutes, so stand up for a minute and let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and just thank the Lord. Father, I thank you also, Lord, because many prophets and kings and righteous men and even angels desire to look into these things. And sometimes you desire to hide them, but unto us, these things are freely given. Because you said there shall nothing be hid that shall not be uncovered. And nothing that should be covered that shall not be known. You are going to bring all these things to us. And we thank you for revelation knowledge, honey out of the rock, the finest of the wheat, and the hidden manna that you are giving to us even at the end of the age. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And Lord, we thank you because by these, the Bible says through all of these precious things that God has given us, we become partakers of the divine nature. These promises, these precious things that God has revealed to us, this is supposed to take us closer to the nature of the Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Now, these things are not for dogs, saith the Lord. Because the Bible says, cast not your pearls, before swine. Neither give holy things unto the dogs, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. Hallelujah. But we are not dogs, amen. Because outside the holy city are dogs. They don't belong. But we are the children of the Most High, amen. And the bread on the table belongs to the children. We are not taking crumbs, amen. Crumbs are for the dogs. Leftover is for the dogs. Remember the message on the eagles that Brother Emmanuel preached a while back. We are eating from the table. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. If you understand all that, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated.